come, and it seems like every time I try to sing, I've been coughing a lot with just allergies. So y'all pray really hard that I'll have a coughing spell on you guys. And actually, this morning I was working on power and prayer. So if it's okay, I'll see you guys, and we'll see if I can make it through.
Amen.
I had that on my heart this morning, and
that would be fine.
I was singing, I kept coughing, but just pray that God will help me get through this.
I'm battling that for 2 weeks now.
From the depths of my heart.
Yes, amen.
Appreciate that. You know, I was thinking when Brother Caudle was sharing about the country up there, you may not realize how close we are to being just like that. We have government officials right now from the White House on down that would stop our church from having the ability to come together. The only difference between us and them is we had some forefathers that set forth some things to protect our liberties that they haven't been able to figure out how to upset yet. If they could, they would wipe it off today and we wouldn't even be able to meet together. And I was thinking how blessed we are. And I asked Brother Rick, he's had an issue with his neck and arm. And by asking him, I said, would you care to bring the young people up and sing before Brother Caudle comes that we've been blessed? And we have truly been blessed. All you young people, come up and help out a little bit. Need your help this morning. Some of you young people don't understand how truly blessed we have been in this country, because you've been born in it and you've never seen anything any different. But we've truly been blessed. Amen. Can we not have that testimony? God has been good, and I am so blessed. Amen, because of his goodness. You know, whenever Moses wanted to see the glory of God in Exodus there, the Bible says he took and put his hand over him, he showed him his goodness. When you see the goodness, you can't help but glorify God. Amen. His glory comes out of his goodness. Amen. Brother, you ready to preach? Good to have Brother John Caldwell with us, missionary we supported for many years in Canada. Just bless their heart to have him with us. God bless
you. Thank you, brother. God bless your heart. What an honor. Take your Bibles and go to 1 Peter and turn to chapter number 4 there in verse number 12. And 1 Peter chapter number 1, I'll read that while you're turning. We're so thankful for the opportunity and joy that we have to be able to be in the presence of you dear people. We're so glad for Kentucky people. Amen.
Amen.
America would not be America if it wasn't for the Kentucky people. Amen. Say amen right there.
Amen.
Now, praise God for this state and what you've done and what you mean to our country, and thank God for the churches in this country. And we appreciate your pastor. And Pastor, we love you and we honor you for your faithfulness to this congregation. What a man of God has stood the test and the trials to be able to remain faithful and to carry this work forward and give you the proper spiritual diet and doctrine and living for Christ and honoring him and obeying the Lord. That's a great blessing. God bless his dear wife. Amen. appreciate her and all of you dear people today. We're so thankful for you. And I have a wife, and we've been married 50 years this year. The Lord's been so good to me. I could really come to the altar myself today, and I should. Just bow my unworthy head and thank God that God has been good.
Yes.
Now, I've been through a lot of trials, and you've been through a lot of trials, but which one of us cannot come to the altar and say, God, you've been good. I want to thank you. I want to thank you. You've blessed me more than anyone else.
Right.
Even the one to my left or to my right, I'm blessed even more. Amen. We should be able to have that testimony. Amen. And I thank God for the privilege of this church and for your sponsoring us and the many years you have stood by us on the mission field. And because of you, we've been able in a vital part to be your voice and your testimony there on the field.
Amen.
And we certainly want to be worthy of you and of your love and your trustment into our behalf as we go and to do that which God has called us as a church. Amen.
Amen.
I'm sent out by the local church. Amen.
Amen.
My authority is the local church. Amen.
Yes.
I thank God for my mission board. But the local church is my authority.
Amen.
And my mission board is out of a local church, and I'm out of the church at Greenville, South Carolina, Tabernacle Baptist Church, and we bless the Lord for that. Now, we appreciate the good singing today. Wasn't that good? Amen?
Yes, amen.
Amen. Thank you, young people. And that dear lady that sung those songs, what a special invitation of God's Spirit into our hearts today to bless us in a most wonderful way. Thank you so much. God bless you. Now, in our Bibles, I just read chapter 1 in 1 Peter in verse number 7. It says, the trial of your faith, being much more precious than it of gold, that perisheth, though it be tried with fire. I want to talk to you about the ultimate sacrifice today. If God give me grace, I want to talk about the ultimate sacrifice that God requires in our life as a believer. And God would do that. If you're going to have any walk, any enjoyment of God, if you're going to have any will of God in your life, you're going to experience God to test and to try you to the ultimate. And it has to be that way. God gave his ultimate sacrifice. Why would it be any different to you and I? His feelings should be our feelings today in our own life. And there's grace sufficient for every need. We don't have to worry about that. But in 1 Peter, it says here, beloved, think it not strange, verse number 12, verse chapter 4, concerning the fiery trials. Now, my beloved, if I know anything about fire, if you put your hand in fire, you're going to jerk it back. Isn't that correct? And that's a natural response to you and I of the fiery trials that God puts upon our life, is to draw back on God. Amen.
Right.
Which one of us would run right into the fire of the trial? We wouldn't do that. Naturally, God has to be with us, and God has to lead us through that. But the trials, nonetheless, as we walk with God, the Lord will put the fire into our life of the intensity of the fire, of the burning sensation of that fire and what it causes to leave such a damage and scar upon our heart and upon our life. And we never forget it. And you'll never forget it. But take your Bibles and go over into Genesis chapter 22. And I want to talk to you about and Abraham here, please, today, and how God used this great man of God. And chapter number 22 in Genesis in your Bible, turn there, please. And I can see Abraham in the air of Chaldees, there in the idolatrous country where he came from, there, and I can see him making idols, and his family and heritage and all they knew was idol worship. And that's basically where God found most of you and I. We were just making idols of ourself, of this world, when the Lord walked up to us and gave us an invitation to know him. But I can imagine Abraham going along, walking down the road one day, and God walked up to him on his side and tapped him on the shoulder and said, Abraham, And Abraham said, yes. And God says, Abraham, I'm God. And I want you to be my friend. Amen. Amen. I'm God. Can you imagine that? God walking up to Abraham and revealing himself to be God to Abraham.
Amen.
And Abraham said, yea, Lord, thy will be done. And he submitted like the Apostle Paul on the Damascus Road there and went forward to recognize God as Lord of his life. And Abraham went out as God sent him out to a country that he knew not of and brought partially of his family there and his kinfolk there and done the will of God. And as we follow Abraham's life, we see how Abraham become more and more acquainted with God.
Yes.
We don't know everything about God the first day that we meet him.
Right.
It's an exposition of knowing him and his person and his great intervention in this world and his economy that he has and his purpose and how we fit in of being a part of that. And I hope that you are doing your part, and I hope that you are enjoying to the highest maximum of the part that God has put you into, and that you can rejoice in that every day and believe God for all things in your life. But as we see here, as we look at Abraham's life, God began to reveal himself to God as the Most High God. Now, we won't go back and look at those verses where God revealed himself to Abraham. But I find in my life, as I look back, that God will reveal himself to me and make things clear to me as I grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ our Lord. As I become to have more knowledge of God and his greatness and his plan and his great accomplishment of his will upon this life and become a part of that, God reveals himself to me and to you and comes into your home, into your life, into your walk, into your Bible study, into your church. So we find that God revealed himself as the Most High God. Then God revealed himself to Abraham as the Lord God, the Adonai, the Master, and the ultimate relationship with Abraham. Abraham needed that for the future of the will of God to be displayed and to be carried out in his life. And so he needed to know the Lord God of his life. Amen. Then God revealed himself in the scriptures. You can go back in Genesis and find these. As the Almighty God to Abraham. Amen. That God was Almighty. Amen. How many times have we faced serving God that we need the might of God, the power of God in our life to go forward? And nothing else but the almightiness of God could accomplish what we face, what he's put upon our shoulders and our heart to do. And God does work that way. And that is the all-sufficient one, the El Shaddai, that God reveals himself to. Then if you go back in verse number 33 of chapter 21, God reveals himself to Abraham as the everlasting God.
Amen.
Isn't that a glorious thing? Amen. Abraham needed that because Abraham, you know, laughed, and we know that his wife there laughed and kind of mocked God. That they were going to have a child, being of age. And we find out here that Abraham had grew through that. And here he faces the question that what God does and what God gives to me in my life, is it everlasting? Aren't you glad that salvation is everlasting, thank God? This everlasting God can only give eternal life and only give eternal security, amen. We have an everlasting salvation, friend. Why? Because we have an everlasting God. Amen. And all that he does is everlasting, praise God. He can't do and diminish anything less than who he is and what he does. Amen. That ought to make some of you just get up right now and just shout and clap your hand. Thank God I'm going to heaven. It don't matter what the devil says, the doubts that put up on my heart. I'm everlastingly saved because I have an everlasting God. And all he promises is everlasting. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank God for that. And Abraham needed that. And so we come to our message in chapter 22, and it came to pass. And so it will come to pass in your life exactly what God wants in your life to do and to serve him. It'll come to pass. What God has elected and God has chosen you in his perfect will to serve him. And I think God has a perfect will for every one of us and all of us, that you know you're right in the center of God's will. And friend, I'm in the center of wolves in Canada. I mean, they're gapping at me all the time. And their mouths are just, their teeth is shining and they're drooling with their mouth. I can see that in the spirit of the principalities and powers and the darkness around us all the time. But I know that God has built a circumference around me. I know that. I don't take that for granted, but I know the Lord has. And I bless the Lord for that. Without that, I could not go on and serve the Lord with confidence in my heart and do what and accomplish what God had planned for me to do. But the Bible says, and it came to pass after these things. Now look at that, please. After these things. Do we run over that, friend? God will never put you into a position or place to serve, to operate, to display his grace and power and the gospel until after these things has transpired in your life. Amen. God will put you under the right proper ministry in this church to prepare you for the future, friend. After these things. Then God began to step into Abraham's life. And Abraham was ready. It wasn't a question. We're going to send him out and he's going to be unprepared. No. Abraham was ready. He was ready to fulfill the will of God.
Amen.
And friend, that's what God does. And may God help us to be prepared for the will of God in our life. I wouldn't take anything for the will of God. I mean, in Canada, it's not the best place in the world to live. It's a cold place, cold people, rejecting people, don't like Americans, and they don't like, but it's precious souls up there that God wants to save. That's the reason why we're there. Amen? And so we're there for the cause of God and the will of God, and I wouldn't take anything for it. That's where God meets with me. That's where God resides with me. That's where God walks in my home, amen. Where God saves my family and my children and blesses me. As we had the wonderful song this morning, right in the will of God. After these things came to pass that God did tempt or test Abraham and said unto him, amen. Now God didn't say to Grandma Abraham, Grandma Abraham, you go over and tell Abraham what I'm wanting him to do. Now God came right to Abraham, friend. Amen. Came right to him. Thank God he bypassed all the clergy. Now all respect to the local church. Now friend, let me tell you something. There's not a preacher nowhere on this planet believes any more than the authority of God using the local church to admonish us and prepare us and to bless us and give us the preparation of the grace of God to know his will for our life. But my friend, I believe we know the Lord Jesus' voice when he comes to our heart and to separate us unto the gospel. Amen. Paul says, Paul the apostle, separated unto the gospel. Amen. That's why God saved you. That's why God saved me, to separate us unto the gospel of God. Let's go on now. The Bible says, and tempt Abraham, said unto him, Abraham, and he said, in other words, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. Amen. And to follow Christ means that you hear his voice. Behold, here am I. Amen. Brother, he was just ready for God to speak and he was prepared. He was open. He says, here I am, God. What do you want in my life? I'm ready. Amen. Now look at the heart of Abraham, friend. He wasn't drawn back. He wasn't fearful. He wasn't questioning God. He said, here I am, Lord. I'm ready. Whom shall I send? Here I am, amen. I'll go, amen. I'll sing in the choir. I'll go out on the bus ministry. I'll teach a Sunday school. I'll go soul winning. Here I am, amen. Preacher says, I need somebody. I'll do it, preacher. Let me do it. Here I am, amen. Oh, ain't that good for the pastor?
Yes.
Pastor wants that kind of response. Amen. Do we have a heart like that? Here am I. Here am I. I'm ready. I'll do it. I'm moved to be involved. I got to be occupied. I got to be serving. I got to be doing for God. Amen. If something needs to be done, let me do it. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let me do it. Amen. Praise God. That's the kind of heart that God wants and the kind of heart that God will build in you and your heart and mine. Then if you look at verse number 2 here, and he said, now I want you to look here, please, that without a doubt, the proof of love is the supreme lesson of Genesis chapter number 22, verse number 1 through 19, the proof of love. The proving of Abraham's love to God is seen after a very eventful experience in Genesis chapter number 21 that we have already read. And he called God the everlasting God, an unusual confession. Love to God, my friend, complements with the confession of God in your life. You confess God, and then the love to God will be much involved in your meditation and your exerting of your heart towards God and in the church. Number one, I want you to see here in Abraham's life and his heart the obedience of love. Amen. Love will come to you to obey God and to separate yourself or to do something for God and be in his will. And obedience to that love, friend, means everything to your walk and blessings in your Christian life. I wouldn't miss the will of God for nothing in my life, friend. I have more safety, more blessings in my home. When I first went to Canada up there, my family said, don't you go there. You lose your children. You lose your wife. And I've saw a lot of missionaries lose their wives. I did. And lose their husbands. I mean it. I mean, it's a graveyard. Canada's a graveyard for missionaries, friend. I mean, everywhere you turn, there's a graveyard after graveyard. Older missionaries, younger missionaries, they came there and died. I mean, the divorces and separations and prodigal children's everywhere. That lingered upon my heart. But we find here that we know there is a sensation, there is a drawing, there is a place, there's a home base of the love to God, friend. And that you'll obey God in spite of all that you see, the trials that you're facing. You'll obey God and you'll do his will. It'll be foremost. He'll be first place in your home. Is God in this? Can we put God first in this? Is God leading us in this direction? Amen. Is he getting glorified and honored in all that we do here? Is it time for God in all that we do? And so we find God had commanded Abraham to take his son in verse number 2 as an offering in verse number 2. Only true love to God would respond to such a test like that. You wouldn't respond to such a test like that. When I first went to Canada back in the early 80s, I went over into Quebec. Was going to work with the French people in Quebec. I love the French people. I love high-spirited people. They're very high-spirited there in Quebec. They're Frenchmen, you know what I mean? We went there and we got settled in. We started learning the French language. And I felt like God was leading me there. We had started church, had a few people saved. And after a few months, we had a knock on the door. Looked outside, there was a sheriff there in Montreal coming to the door. What in the world was a sheriff coming to our door in Montreal for? That's kind of a weird thing. Well, we had our children in the only Christian school in Montreal. The sheriff came to the door and said, we know and we see that you have your children in the Christian school. You can't do that here. They just changed the laws, you can't do that here. We want you to put your children in the French immersion Catholic school in Montreal. I said, okay, sir, we'll think about that. He said, ain't no thinking about it. You're going to do it. I said, okay, sir, thank you. And I was respectfully closed the door, went in and talked to my wife, prayed about it, and I said, we can't do this. No way we can do this. Came back in 2 weeks and gave me a warrant. It's going to put me in jail. What an introduction to Canada, amen? So we looked at it and we prayed about it, and we ordered a Becker from Pensacola to start teaching our children at home. He came to the door with warrants and go put me in jail. Said, we'll give you 2 weeks, put your children into French immersion school, or either we're going to put you in jail. Thank you, Canada. God bless you. I know you love me. Amen. We're here to be a blessing to you. And what did we do? We got a U-Haul truck. We packed the truck up and got it all packed up. Within one night, we got it all loaded up, went right down to the border down there. You say, preacher, you had a good reason to come back to the States. They run you out, and you can go back and get all the sympathy of the Baptist churches back in. They'll love you to death because you went through a trial up there, and you couldn't serve up there. It's good evidence. We see that. No, I didn't do that. Now, I'm not bragging. I'm not bragging about that at all. I went down to the border. I knew that God had sent me to Canada, and I was going to know the end of it. I knew that as Abraham, give thy son, thine only son, give thy heart, thy life, and thy family on the altar, the ultimate sacrifice. I went right back down to the border down there and took about an hour to drive back down to the border there at Highway 87 at Champlain border of New York and Canada. I made a U-turn. I was out of Canada about 5 minutes. I cleared my status and came right back into the country. Amen. I said, bless God, if you get knocked down, get back up again. Amen. Amen. It's the only thing I know to do. Came right back into Canada. Went right back up in Montreal, and it was 4 feet of snow on the ground. I said, God, I don't know where this truck is going. I didn't know any other province but Quebec. I didn't even know where the truck was going because I hadn't had enough time to look at the map or the route. I said, God, you're going to have to drive this truck here. And my little wife was sitting over there and two little small children in between me. And I said, God, lead us where you want us to go. It was 4 feet of snow on the road. And I'm telling you, brother, the plow was going everywhere. And I kept on going a certain direction. I didn't know where I was going. I'm telling you the whole truth. And all of a sudden, I saw the sign said Ontario. Well, we were going through Ontario. I said, what does that word mean, Ontario? I didn't even know what Ontario, I didn't even know the provinces of Canada when I went up there as a missionary. And I kept on going. I said, God, wherever you want me to go, you stop this truck, and I'll believe that's where you want us to evangelize this lost people and start an old-fashioned Baptist church. Thank God, a King James Version. Say amen right there. Brother, I tell you, I was driving that thing about 4 or 5 hours, and we'd gas up and keep on going, and we came to a city called Oshawa, Ontario. It's right on the edge of Toronto, Ontario, and the truck got stuck in the 401, the biggest highway in Canada, got stuck in the middle of the highway, and the wheels was going, ooh, 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 ooh. And God says, this is where I want you to start a church. I said, thank you, Lord. Amen. Brother, I tell you, we started a church there in Oshawa, Ontario, the perimeter of Toronto there. We had hundreds of people saved. I mean, God was saving people from all around the world. The Great Commission was being kept, and God was glorified. We bought an old Catholic church. Bless God. Hallelujah. Our first church, God gave me a building. Did you know that most independent Baptist churches in Canada do not own their own facility? They don't. The banks won't finance them, and it's difficult to get money to buy a building for a church. But God gave me one. He sure did. Came down one day, said, I'm going to give you that building right there. I said, yeah, Lord, I know that. And I came back. He said, I'm going to give you the building. Last time I'm going to tell you. But anyway, God gave it to me. And we didn't have money to close the building on the last day. And the old priest came up behind me and scared me to death and said, don't you worry about a thing. We'll finance the building for you. So the Catholic Church financed an old-fashioned Baptist church right there on the edge of Toronto. Amen. Praise God. Can you imagine the Catholic Church financing the Baptist church? Amen. That's just some of the things that God done for me, brother. I tell you, I could tell you them blow your mind right off your head.
Amen.
Amen. But God had been so good. So the obedience of love, him, the only true love to God, and his love to God, here we see. I want you to see here, under the obedience of love, his readiness of action. He was ready. Now, we've already noted that just a little bit, but Abraham was ready. He didn't recoil. He didn't draw back on God. He didn't stumble at the call of duty, but he went forward. He was ready. Take now thy son, thine only son, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. With all the trials that God's put me through, I'm so glad God didn't put that on me.
Amen.
And but God did put it up on one of our brethren, and that's Abraham. And what a great example that we have before us today to glean from the truth of his experience that we go through down here upon this with a lesser, you might say, a design of test. And sometimes we flounder, and sometimes we draw back, and sometimes we just don't go forward to do what God wants us to do. That whatever God wants you to offer on the altar, friend, and the sacrifice for his will and for his plan, he'll take it, he'll bless it, he'll sanctify it, and he'll engulf it with his mercy and give it back to you. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. He will.
Amen.
God just wants to take that which that you have in his hands and just bless it real good and fill it up with the grace of God and the mercy of the Lord, and give it back to you, praise
yes.
God. Boy, I tell you, I wouldn't take nothing in the world for all of those times.
Yes.
That what I've given God, he's given back to me, amen. So a readiness of action, brother. He got up early and there and go to the mountains I tell thee of, rose up early in the morning, amen. Early riser, and get up, saddled the ass, and took two of his young men with him, Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went into the place which God had told him of. And then I want you to see the thoughtfulness or the thoroughness of action. He was very thorough, friend. I mean, when Abraham left, there was not one little toothpick, you might say, left behind of anything that he needed to successfully do what God had called him to do.
Right.
He was properly prepared.
Amen.
To initiate the orders of God.
Amen.
Amen. And God calls men like that. This is the kind of men that God wants to have and has to have to do a work. God don't want us to do an unfinished task and have an unfinished task in our life. No, not any regret for anyone that may seemly, and I'm not the judge, no way. But I'm just saying to you today, friend, make sure that you know that you're in the will of God, and God is speaking to you, and you can draw back without any influence of anyone, and the fellowship with you and God alone, and communion time, that you're meeting with God in prayer and communion, and you together can walk this uncharted path, and you have the confidence in your heart. You know that. You don't have no doubt about that. And Abraham had no doubt. So he was thorough in his action. Then I want you to look at the loftiness of action here. If you look down and drop down in your Bible, please, here, and look with me in verse number 5, verse 4, and on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place, and Abraham said unto his young men, abide here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and will worship and come again. Now here the word worship is first mentioned in the Bible.
Yes.
Here we have the first mentioned principle of studying words first mentioned in the book of the seed book of Genesis. And friend, the word worship here is so important that we see here and learn the root meaning of this word. If we miss it, friend, then we miss a vital truth in proper worship in our life as a child of God. We in the modern day church, and nothing wrong with it, but we put a lot of emphasis on worship, on picking our hymn books up and singing a few songs and sitting down and maybe taking an offering and go through that or hearing a special song. Nothing wrong with that, friend. That's good. It has to be done. These prepare our heart for the message and season our heart and blesses our soul, and we worship God in our heart unto the Lord. That's good. But the word worship, it doesn't mean that.
Right.
The word worship means here to die, is to bring an offering. It means to come to the altar and to die on the altar. Give yourself. When we come to the house of God, we want to come to die afresh and reaffirm God's will in our life and die to ourselves. I mean, you go from one Sunday to the next Sunday, friend, you brush shoulders with the world, and you need to come and reaffirm and worship God that your life belongs to Him.
Yes.
Your hands are off of it.
Yes.
And you've stood back and let God do what He wants to do in your life.
Yes.
And unless you exercise that kind of worship, friend, you're not going to do that.
Amen.
I mean, when you come to the house of God, do you want to come to the altar and say, Lord, I'm dead to myself, to my will. I've been bought with a price. Amen. I belong to you today. Amen. Worship. Amen. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice unto God. Amen. So, friend, worship here means to die. And not only to die, it means to resurrect. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Friend, wherever there's a death in God's path, bro, there's a resurrection. Don't you forget about that. Amen. So God's going to bless you, and He's going to resurrect you as you come to present your life to Him afresh every Sunday. So number two here, not only we see the obedience of love, but we see the offering of love. Now I know in verse number 12, God wanted a practical evidence of His love, and God, Abraham gave him that. The offering of love involves, number one, an unspeakable costlessness. Amen. Verse number 9. And he came to place, to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in the order, and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. So it was a very, very costly offering there. So I want you to see the unspeakable costlessness here. The giving of His own Son. Do you love God like that? Do I love God like that? Will I give to God the most costly thing in my life? Am I ready? Am I prepared? Will I take my hands off? Are my hands off of the most valuable things to me, dear to me? And I know that they belong to God. Then the unspeakable costlessness here. I want you to see him. He offered everything to God. When Abraham gave Isaac to God, he gave everything to God. Abraham had his whole life, will, purpose, strength in his son, like Jesus was the Son of God to the Father, and to glorify Him. And so the offering of love is so important here, that we do it in the proper spirit, in the problem. Then number three, and I'm closing here, the overflow of love. And here's my mission endeavor that I want to get to you here, okay? When we do what God tells us, He sees to it that the blessing of our love to Him, are you listening, overflows to others.
Yes.
God sees to it when we do His will that the love that we gave to Him, that it overflows to others.
Amen.
Around us. You say, preacher, how can I get my loved one saved? Just get in the will of God.
Amen.
Do what God wants you to do. Let Him prepare you for His will. And don't you worry, that love that you give to God will overflow to others. You say, well, preacher, I need a proof text of that. Well, that's what I'm about to give you here, okay? Of our love to overflow to others. That this was the proof in Abraham's experience, and it can be the proof in my experience also too. I'd like for you to look, please, with me here. If you look at verse number 15 here, I'd like for you to see that, and the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time. Oh my, this second time is a blessing time, is the grace time of God's goodness. And the relief time. And he said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, because you've served me, because you've done what I want you to do, and you set yourself apart, he says, and hast not withheld thy son. Have we withheld? Have we did that? Have we fallen? And not doing what God wants us to do. Thine only son, that in blessing, here is number one, a productive love here, that in blessing I will bless thee and multiply thee. I don't think there's a person in my family that has not made a profession of faith.
Amen.
That God has went through our family, not on one occasion, but in many occasions. He's came back, and because of the love, I believe that in God's grace, I think God has rewarded our prayers and our life of productive love here. He says here, if you look at and multiply, I will multiply thy seed, amen. And as the stars of the heaven and as the sand of the sea, which upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gates of the enemy. And that's number two blessing, aggressive love. Now let me tell you something, friend. I see the aggressive love of God every day when I go out and preach on the streets. I see that love just overwhelm the policemen, the souls out there, the people out there from other churches. We have all kinds of Muslims that come out there and they threaten our life and get mad and throw stones at us. I see God, they come right up to us like they're going to kill us and draw knives on, and God just stops them dead still. It looks like a wall there. Aggressive love, amen. It says right here in the Word of God, and thy seed shall possess the gates of the enemies, amen. I like that, praise God.
Yes.
Amen. We worry about the enemies. We better worry about doing what God wants us to do, amen. He'll take care of the enemies, amen.
Right.
Right. And then number three, I want you to see here the overflow of love, the blessing of redemptive love. And in thy seed shall all thy nations and all the nations of the earth be blessed. Friend, can you imagine God using me? I guess I'm not supposed to walk out behind a pulpit, am I? God using a plowboy. I was raised in a tobacco field. We used to raise tobacco in North Carolina. That was the state of raising tobacco. And we had mules. We couldn't afford a tractor. And we'd go out and get them old mules hitched up to the plows, and we'd plow the land and turn the land over with a mule. And we'd get our healing for the roads to plant tobacco. And when they come up, we'd cultivate with a mule, amen. Country boy. You can tell I'm not all that influential and intellectual and educated, you know, all the proper terms and words and everything. Amen, brother. How God can draw someone like Elijah plowing with the oxen there out of the field, amen. God just threw his cloak upon me. He said, get out of that field, amen.
Amen.
I think I can demonstrate grace upon you, amen. And there, God produced redemptive love overflow of the will of God in my life to all those around me in the world.
Yes.
In Toronto, largest melting pot anywhere in the world of people around the world, amen. People from every area, Spanish, all kinds of German. We've had Germans saved. We've had all kinds of people from Russia saved and those other states around Germany over there. China, a lot of Chinese people, a lot of Indian people. Indian people are open to the gospel. Amen. Chinese are open to the gospel. They come over for a better life over here. We can't go there. They come in here. Amen. Let's get them while they come here. Amen. Right, when the fish go up the creek, let's get them then, amen? Right, when they spawn. They come over here to spawn, amen? And praise God, we just put a hook in them, amen? And get them saved, amen? So we see here, my friend, the blessing of redemptive love in verse number 18, and thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed here, and because thou hast obeyed my voice. May we stand to our feet, please, today. May we stand to our feet and bow our heads. Father, as we come in your presence, we thank you as the pianist comes today for a song of invitation. I do pray that you would help us today as a collective body of people in this good church to look again at the great story of Abraham, maybe be some clarity of some questions today resolved. And may, O God, today that our lives would come to worship you on this altar. Truly to worship you by submitting our whole self to thee and knowing that our hands are off of our life. We're not in control. There's a sovereign God, a great God, an eternal Lord has planned this thing from the beginning to the end. He's inserted us in time. And God, we're so thankful that you have put us into the uses of serving you. Lord bless this church as their pastor. And God, as we give the invitation, there could be one today lost and unsaved that needs to come to Christ. Lord, please have your way in this invitation. And may God be glorified for Jesus' sake. Amen. All right. As we play the song today, we open up to you. Page 20. Turn to page 20. Let's sing it, amen. Page 20.